Welcome to the Rob Roeder Chasing the Dream Radio Show segment on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts, Rob Roeder and Peter Mingles. Make sure you check us out by clicking on the Rob Roeder Radio Show link on buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Rob Roeder's success as an entrepreneur has allowed him to pursue his passion in the music industry. Listen to his Chasing the Dream theme as you witness his ability to pursue his dreams in the field he loves. And there's much more in store for you, too. You might have a chance of working with him in his business ventures and in the music industry. So listen in and enjoy the journey. Now, on to our Building Fortunes radio show with Rob Roeder and Peter Mingles. Let's get started, Peter.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to Peter Mingles on Building Fortunes Radio with our special segment on Thursday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. We've been squeezing Rob Roeder into our special segments. So we love the stuff that Rob has done, and if you had a chance, make sure you go to Building Fortunes Radio and then find the special segment we did with Chasing the Dream, done by Rob Roeder. For those of you who may never have heard of this segment before, we started doing this a couple of weeks ago as a result of a conversation where I rekindled the conversation with Rob. We've done business on and off for a long period of time, and as I was calling just to ask some questions about something that I was hearing about, we started speaking about him getting a chance to pursue his passion in the music industry. And when we started that, I know we've always had conversations about him liking to play music, but I was really never that knowledgeable about all the wonderful things that he's done in his past and the things that now he can do moving into his future, because he's been successful in home-based businesses, which afforded him the option to really pursue his dreams in the music industry. And the more I listened, the more I was intrigued, and I said, Rob, we got to share this story, your success story besides in home-based businesses, but your new success story in chasing the dream of being involved in the musical industry, because there's some special things happening with Rob, doors that are swinging open that came as a result of him being as prepared as he is. So I wanted to bring him in to share with other people the idea of, number one, always chase your dream. Number two is watch it in action as he develops his musical business to the next level as a result of the doors that have swung open for him. So, Rob, thanks for being here on Building Fortunes Radio.
Well, thank you very much, Peter. It's really an honor to be here.
Yep. Well, we've had a long relationship together relative to business. And I've seen you start up with some startup companies, and then sometimes the startup companies go away, and then really hit it big time with lots of companies because you're always the successful type of an entrepreneur. But I didn't know a lot about you as a musical person or somebody that was involved in the music industry. And I don't want to say like this, I wouldn't have guessed it, because you really didn't leave very many clues. I had no idea that you were that into it. So can you share with some people who may be hearing you for the very first time a little bit about your background, your passion of music, and then we're going to move on to today's topics?
Well, sure. Thank you, Peter. Yeah, I mean, the music has always been my purpose in life. It's my passion, something that I started at a very young age. My mom was a classical musician taught by Leopold Stokowski, who was a famous Poland conductor, composer, and she studied under him for quite a few years, and so she had that gift of music and had developed it in the classical arena. As a baby, I grew up listening to her play, and she also took to the show tunes of that era, which was in the 30s. Of course, the George Gershwin era was quite big then, so she really took to his music, and I was, raised with hearing all the George Gershwin music, and of course being exposed to some of the amazing talent that was being aired on television back in those days, the Nat King Coles and Dean Martins and all the amazing musicians, Frank Sinatra and all those guys. And of course, being born in the 50s, having that particular musical, all the things that were happening there with the blues and the rock and roll years, so to speak, with Elvis Presley and all those great guys, and moving into the 60s, which was really a revolution in music, we call the Renaissance years, and being exposed to that and having the real passion and love for music, Peter, was never something that I was forced to do. I just took to it very, very naturally, and spent many hours practicing on my mom's piano when I was very young, and developed my skills. By the time I was 16, I was considered a prodigy on the piano, which was kind of interesting because I hadn't taken any lessons. But, you know, when you love something and you practice at it, you develop your skills, and I had that ear, so to speak. And, you know, so just a lot of things have taken place, of course, since then, and I've been composing over the years and exposed to so many incredible mentors in the industry. And the biggest reward has been being able to work with some really great musicians. And now here we are taking a new chapter, so to speak, and looking at getting my work here out to the world finally. So it's been a long journey, but kept the faith, and here we are.
Well, you've gone through, you know, I love to hear that. I love the stories. I mean, I love the stories. And not that we're getting very old, but if you know what I mean, we've been through some generations of music. So you're talking about 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s, and there's some people listening to us that may not even know what you're talking about relative to the 50s, the 60s, 70s, and 80s. But the music industry has changed, I think, significantly from the 50s. And could you discuss maybe, I don't know how, I'm not good enough to be able to kind of section them into different groups, but could you kind of walk us through some of the differences between the music maybe that we would have listened to or that was written in the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, 80s, and kind of bring us here, and then towards the end, I'm sure you're going to blend in technology and the internet, but talk to us a little bit about the differences in music.
Well, it's quite a wide topic, but, you know, anyone that was born in the 50s can certainly appreciate, you know, that time period in terms of what was happening. Really was a birth of rock and roll, as we call it. And it came out of, you know, a lot of the blues guys. You know, they were doing their thing, and, you know, the Chuck Berry and Little Richard and those guys, you know, really were the first creators of rock and roll as we know it today. And, you know, just these guys, you know, Ray Charles as well, they brought it in, and B.B. King, and so many great players back then, but influenced a lot of the guys that came out of the, you know, the what we call rock now, which was, of course, the Beatles was one of the first rock bands to surface, and they were greatly influenced, you know, by that. You know, John Lennon and Paul McCartney, you know, contribute a lot of their stuff to those individuals, and certainly the influence of Elvis. But Elvis was influenced by the earlier blues guys, you know, so it was kind of an evolution that took place. But it was great music, you know, and you know, when we remember those days, those of us that were born in the 50s, you know, the doo-wop and all that stuff, and it was an era of its own. America was like waking up into this cultural revolution, so to speak, coming into this this kind of a freedom, I think, was really what we call rock and roll. If we really want to know what rock and roll represents, it is freedom. And, you know, it was a great change, you know, in this country, and, of course, it spread from here around the world. But we saw that take place in the 50s, and then it evolved into the 60s. So we had the doo-wop and all that stuff, and the a cappella voice and all those great singers, you know. And then you got the Four Seasons came out of that, and Four Tops, and so many amazing bands, you know. And then in the 60s was really where things took on a whole different arena from in the evolutionary process of music, and it was a renaissance. You know, the Beatles certainly were probably one of the key musicians that started that type of experiment, you know, experimental, but they were amazing. You know, they had that pop thing going on with a little bit of the classical, and, you know, they were kind of conservative when compared to like a band like Rolling Stones, you know, that was pushing outside the edge of the box, so to speak. And, you know, but the Stones certainly had their impact. Such amazing musicians. And a lot of these guys are still current today. You've got Mick Jagger and, you know, these guys are still playing, and of course McCartney and Ringo, and still doing their thing, still performing here in the 2000s. You know, so it's been an amazing journey to watch. For me, in particular, the 60s was a really amazing time period because there was so much experimentation happening then with music. We saw the great artists come out, the Jimi Hendrixes, you know, the Jim Morrison, the Doors, and you know, Buffalo Springfield, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, all those guys that started coming out of that, you know, so many people I can think of that just, you know, just the there was such a freedom there, and the musicians really were able to experiment and create a new culture, so to speak. And of course, the timing of that, you know, when we're going through a very, tormented time here with, you know, United States and being at war over in Vietnam, and, you know, there was it was just a, it was an amazing point in time to have what was happening internally politically with our country, and then of course seeing the parallel of the peace movement, which, you know, a lot of the music had come out of that, you know. So there was an amazing input of artists at that time, and there was a freedom that we experienced in the 60s and 70s that's gone. We don't see that same freedom. It was here at the time. I think a lot of us recognized that something very, very unique was happening, and those of us that experienced those years really, I think, you know, we'll never forget that the freedoms that we had back then, and that it was like an experimentation period, you know, and the youth certainly started that movement, and it came through music. Music, I think, was probably the centerpiece and really the inspiration that brought the people together and allowed us to get into the artistry world and to create. And I was so really blessed to be, you know, born in that time period, because it was the culture was so much about music and expression, and it was a music that had meaning. It wasn't just, you know, beat music like a lot that we hear today, but there was a message in most of the music back then. Go ahead, Peter.
No. I hear you. What I was asking as well is, you know, I remember when my dad was talking about, I was born in 62, so I didn't catch a lot of the music in the 60s, but I remember when my dad and my in-laws now, of course, and hanging around with them, they were big into the doo-wop sort of stuff with the, you know, T-shirts rolled up, the white T-shirts and the a cappella type of thing, a little bit like Grease, if you will. And then all of a sudden came around the 60s, and for some reason the electric guitar and the electric guitar solo really just kind of took over, and there was that freedom of people that could be really talented or not to be able to sing and sell a lot of music. Like, I'll take maybe a look at some musicians that are really talented, and then I would take a look at the Rolling Stones, who might sell a lot of music but weren't necessarily musically talented, I don't think, at least, you know. Certainly couldn't dance, maybe still can't, you know, his own kind of a dance, but they sold a lot of music. And the cool thing about it was, like you said, the freedom of the expression. The songs may have meant something. It was forming the culture. The culture formed around them. It was really kind of innocent, kind of wild, and all those types of things. And then,
for sure. And I'm going to have to challenge Rolling Stones, Peter. I think they're phenomenal.
as far as musicians, like their
absolutely.
Ability to play?
Absolutely, yeah. In their own genre, for what they do, uncomparable. They have their own genre, it's their own sound, and there's some serious, you know, maybe done from a technical basis, they're not like, you know, classically trained or any of that, but what these guys did in the R&B world and in rock, you know, they set a standard, and many bands have been influenced from it. So I'm going to have
they
to...
Did. They did, but from the technical standpoint, I would take a look at the things that you do on the classical piano and say, now this guy's got some talent.
Yeah,
and then I would see some other guys that were just kind of stringing on it, you know, strumming on an electric guitar.
There's a lot of practice that has gone into there. There's genius there. And in fact, in one of my tracks, which you featured on the radio station last week, which is called In the Light of Love, there's a guitar riff happening in there that's very much similar, kind of like what Keith Richards would do in the Rolling Stones. So there's influence there from the Stones. I mean, you may not hear it, but, you know, because I've been so in tune with the bands over the years, I understand the different genres. And I think that even though it may not be, you know, technically proficient, there's a lot of genius and art form in what these guys do and still do. So just want to just share that from at least
right,
from my
exactly.
opinion.
Well, I take a look at like a guy like Jimi Hendrix when he started wailing on that guitar. And
oh, yeah.
You could just say, now that's talent. Now that's talent.
Yeah. Different and, artists, you know, with different expressions, all part of the picture collectively, you know. But I mean, Hendrix was absolutely an absolute amazing genius, one of a kind. We'll never see.
Yeah, a little bit like the Robin Williams of the actors, kind of a thing. Just kind of stood apart and probably never going to be found again. Someone like him. So we went through that freedom time where a lot of people were doing kind of like their own thing. And then I guess the music industry started to develop as well. How has the development of the music industry influenced the music that we might hear, maybe commercially?
Well, it's been an interesting thing to watch, especially because I'm being an artist and wanting to be involved in the music industry at a young age and coming very close to having a major record deal in my 20s. and watching the artists be influenced by the actual executives at the various record companies. You know, back in the 60s, it was, again, that freedom movement we talked about, where artists could bring their stuff to radio stations and get the airplay, and people were much more attentive in those days and open for that style of music. But what we saw happen in the industry was, in my opinion, really destructive to the culture of arts, because the artists were moving in a particular arena. They were moving in a particular direction. And I saw it evolve, you know, the different rock things that evolved from, you know, the a cappella type things from the 50s into the rock and into the rock and roll, you know, the Stones and those type of bands, and, you know, then getting into more of the pop stuff, but then also getting into more refined rock. There's something called progressive rock, which you had bands like Yes, bands like Genesis, who many people, you know, can appreciate Genesis from the early days, and where they were heading in terms of a type of music that was there was an intelligence to it. There was an actual, really kind of a classical. It was very technically involved, much more, you know, had to be more skilled to be able to play, but yet it still had, you know, rock roots to it. But it was going into an arena of almost like the theatrical aspect came in as well. And it was moving into a real kind of a theatrical type of arena, and it was great. The youth loved it. I remember being in the 70s and seeing and experiencing the audiences, you know, of how they were taking to this particular style of music. You know, there was a movement happening, and we were all kind of really appreciating this new rock era that started to come in like the, you know, late 60s, early 70s. You know, Jethro Tull and Supertramp, and oh my God, so many bands that were coming out of that particular arena. The Yes, the Genesis, King Crimson, and then all of a sudden, what happened is the record industry kind of went, you know what, and then disco kind of hit the scene. You remember in the 70s, right? You had disco, you know, the beat type thing. And immediately they recognized this marketplace, you know, where the clothes, you know, the John Travolta thing, and they saw how they could capitalize on that. But what they did is they actually went to the artists, and a lot of the artists, and said, listen, you know, we don't want you in this experimental mode. We don't want you going into this. We want you to get you into more of the beat, more of the commercial type of music, versus being a little more experimental, taking people, taking people to different levels through outside the box, so to speak. And there's a lot of great things in that, but they squashed it, and they got with the artists and basically said, look, we don't want you going in that arena. And we saw some great bands, you know, really affected by that. But there was one or two that kind of stayed in there, but they never really made it, you know, popular. You know, so they kind of struggled throughout the years. But it was interesting to see, because that influence of the record industry coming in and you know, kind of dictating to the artists where they wanted them to be, and, you know, if you want to continue to be on our payroll, you need to do this, X, Y, and Z. And it was a really alarming time for me, because I was really into a particular style of music, very much going for it, and then all of a sudden these guys just slammed it out. And I'll tell you what, I was not happy about that, because I was
right,
ready
exactly.
to bring
yeah,
something
the commercial
to
influence. The commercial influence on the music industry. We're going to take a little station break. We're going to be right back. You're listening to Rob Roeder. He's talking about chasing the dream, and I'm intrigued with this conversation for sure. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Rob Roeder Chasing the Dream radio show segment on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Rob Roeder and Peter Mingle. This special segment can be heard again with almost any device connected to the internet by going to buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Listen in often and get to know Rob Roeder. Go to the buildingfortunesradio.com website to listen to some of Rob's music. No matter where you're at in life, you can benefit by listening to and from working with Rob. Rob Roeder's success as an entrepreneur has allowed him to pursue his passion in the music industry. Listen to Rob's Chasing the Dream theme as you witness his ability to pursue his dreams in the field he loves. Thanks for listening, and now back to our Building Fortunes radio show.
We are here. You're listening to Rob Roeder. We're talking about chasing the dream. He's pursuing his dream to continue in the music industry. And for all of those people that love to hear about the history and the story, I eat all this stuff up because I love to hear different people's perspectives of how they felt the industry was or evolved and developed. And Rob, when you were talking a little bit earlier, you mentioned a whole bunch of band names. I know you can't mention all of them. But I kind of remember the Pink Floyd thing, which was kind of like when albums sometimes almost had a theme, like a story behind it. And I don't think we have that today, but where does Pink Floyd fit into the stuff that you were referencing if you ever followed them?
Definitely into the progressive rock arena. They were amazing, experimental, and doing things really out of the box, especially, you know, live with the laser shows and everything else, you know, the psychedelic aspect of what they brought to their music. But they were definitely some of the earlier creators in that arena. Pink Floyd was one of the few bands that kind of survived the suppression that the industry was bringing, because they were so good at what they did, and they had such a spectacular show. They were able to maintain what they did and really kind of push it through. So they survived that, and they're still very popular. You know, they're one of the most popular prog rock bands that are still out there. Very few, you know, that we even think of anymore. I mean, you know, Yes was certainly one of them, but few people know who they are these days. But Pink Floyd is I think because of their uniqueness and what they did, you know, with their shows, they were able to survive that and still get the recognition.
They were probably one of those bands who their shows really complemented the music and sold a lot more of their music as well, because people would be just as intrigued with the theatrics of the show as they would be with the music.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
They really
yeah.
kind of marketed and blended that whole thing together with their own unique way of doing things. Okay, good. All right, so then the commercial industry starts happening, and when the commercial industry starts happening, it flattens out a little bit of the creativity. So take us to the next level.
It's interesting, just to wrap up on that. It flattened the creativity in some genres, like almost where it came to a stop. But the good news is that the great music, the stuff from the 50s and the 60s, it's still, you know, continue. You have your people that were familiar with that music, that loved it and brought it through to the other generations to enjoy, which is a great thing. So, you know, we came through that era, then we had the 70s thing happening, and of course the 80s was a whole different movement in itself with the Madonnas and, you know, that whole thing that came out. But a lot of great music evolved from the 70s and 80s and even the 90s. I mean, just, you know, music progressing and doing great things. But what's really been interesting is the evolution process of where it's come through and where we are today. You know, here it is, 2015, and watching the trends and some of the changes that have taken place, it's a great place to be right now in music. And the reason for that, I think the internet has a lot to do with it, but many more, the youth is being exposed to a lot more types of music out there. And the record industry can't control it as much because it, you know, the advent of the internet, it represents freedom. People can share more, and you know, so it brings that element back to the people, which is really where this music belongs. It's in the people's hands, not the industry.
Right. So I think one of the, and I don't know, you can clean up whatever I'm going to say next, but I think one of the things that really changed was the concept of when it went digital. You know, where you can actually have it on a file that you can actually store it in several places or maybe do different things with it. And then the internet, which made the digital thing that much easier to share. So can you touch base on that a little bit? Like when we went from, you know, recording on a cassette recorder or, gosh, in an 8-track player, you know, to where we are right now, which is digital. Because, you know, let's face it, if I had an 8-track, I remember when I had cassette players, I'd sit there with a dubber and kind of like dub them back and forth, and sometimes we'd share some of these things. But now with digital, it's a whole different world. So
it certainly is,
Peter. Making the music,
I mean,
sharing it.
Yeah, I think where the real peak was for those of us that experienced, you know, of course, 60s, 70s, and 80s was the records, you know, the albums. You mentioned that earlier. The album, you know, the vinyl album, it just had such an amazing culture of its in its own. I still have a closet full of all my old records from, you know, from the 60s and 70s. But, you know, it just, the record itself became a you know, people would look at the cover, read everything that was in there, get the artwork. So I like to be able to share more with the artist. It was more of a personal experience there, and I think it created you know, more affinity for the artist, so to speak, and a better understanding of what they were creating. It was sad to see that, you know, and I understand they're still making albums today, and that they tried to make a comeback with it, but the digital experience certainly has changed everything, you know, in so many ways, and certainly music has been influenced by it. I think with the digital, you know, arena now, it's just so much easier for artists to get their music out. You know, it's easier to record. You know, we can now in our home, we can do amazing things in our home. You know, creating a home digital studio versus what we, back in the old days, we had to go into recording studios. So it's really made it much more easier, much more accessible for artists to get their work complete it, you know, in a home basis, and then get it out through through digital and the internet. So the ability to promote and get one's music out has been increased highly by that. So it
right.
is the new world. A lot of the artists today use a combination of digital and what we call analog, because analog being tape, you know, there was a warmness to analog sound, whereas the digital tends to be kind of cold and kind of sterile, so to speak. But they're now blending. There's software out there that gives that analog feel, and a lot of the you know, composers and engineers and producers are combining both the old analog sounds with the digital to get more of a warm, a human feel. So it's amazing what technology can do. It's really amazing. In fact, I was just talking to somebody tonight, Peter. Check this out. The new software is being released by a company called Pro Tools, where it's like Skype, where the artists can actually go online now and have someone record them on another computer, you know, like Skype, and they can see them just like they're in a recording studio, all being done online. This is amazing what's taking place. So now you can have an engineer in your home, in your living room, with Skype. This is just released here, guys. It'll probably be, I don't know, next 3-6 months it'll be out there. So just amazing where this technology is going, to see it happening in this arena. I love it.
And I think what we're also experiencing, and I'm just a novice at this thing, is through YouTube and the ability for people to be able to play their YouTube, we see the proliferation of a lot of really talented people out there. So, you know, before, you know, we only ate what we were fed from the, you know, the radio stations that we read, or maybe the TV shows that we would watch, but there are so many super talented, creative people out there that now have an opportunity to share their information. There's a lot of choices out there and a lot of avenues for people to be known, but also some challenges with that. It's kind of hard to compete in a noisy environment because there's so many things going on. How do you separate yourself maybe from anyone else? And then maybe that's why they have to do the outlandish or crazy things that they do to get some attention, which either is a plus or a minus depending on, you know, who you talk to or when. We only have about a minute left, Rob. I want to, on the next radio show that we do, obviously I'd love you to be able to kind of really expand on the digital, the YouTube, all the different avenues where people are going out there and getting their music, some of the new breakthroughs, which I'm kind of excited to hear about, the one thing that you were talking about a little bit earlier. But you have about a minute left. I'll let you wrap it up, and then we're going to call it a show.
Well, great, Peter. You know, I did basically want to just say that in the evolutionary process we've seen over the decades is that this is a great time to be alive as an artist, especially for the youth, because you do have the channels. You know, the communication arenas are there via the internet, but like you mentioned, YouTube, to get the exposure out there. And you know what, just do what you love. You know, find the thing that you love that is the most natural for you. And, you know, keep your conviction in that. Don't let anyone influence you other than what you really feel is what your inner voice is telling you to create. So follow that faith.
Excellent. Okay, good. You've been listening to Rob Roeder. We're here on Building Fortunes Radio. Take a look at his segment called Chasing the Dream. Go to www.buildingfortunesradio.com and you'll see it there. Rob, thanks for being here. We'll catch you guys next time.
Thank you, Peter.
You've been listening to the Rob Roeder Chasing the Dream radio show segment on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts, Rob Roeder and Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website to hear previous radio shows with Rob Roeder and Peter Mingle. Rob Roeder's success as an entrepreneur has allowed him to pursue his passion in the music industry. Listen to his Chasing the Dream theme as you witness his ability to pursue his dreams in the field he loves. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. Rob Roeder, Peter, and I want to say thanks for listening and ask you to spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.